This teaching comes to you from the team at St. Mark's, Darling Point, Sydney. We hope that it blesses you.
Our first reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is taken from Luke 24, verses 35 to 42. Then the two of the disciples told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. This is the word of the Lord.
When I talk to people about Christianity, lots of people don't really have much of a problem with spiritual things generally. They might have their own religion or have a vague sense of spirituality. They might even believe in some kind of God and maybe even pray to him sometimes. But when it comes to the Bible, it becomes a bit of a different story. Even for Christians, the Bible can be challenging. And for skeptics, the Bible can just seem outlandish. I mean, it doesn't really seem to make sense that the God of the universe would actually speak to us in a book. And perhaps it just seems more likely that it was just a collection of texts made up by religious elites to prop up their own power. And these are just old texts concocted and gathered together over hundreds of years after the event, changed over time, endlessly translated, and just revered by accident. But it's not just about whether the Bible is historically true. The question as well is about, is it actually good? Can we trust it to base our lives on? So much of it can seem outdated and confronting and even irrelevant, and just the product of a human culture that seems to be out of date with no real say in our lives. Now, I've framed these questions from the point of view of a skeptic, and if that's you today, then I hope that I can sketch out for you some good reasons to take some steps towards trusting the Bible. But if you're here today, I think most of us here today are probably Christians, and you likely believe what we just read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, that the Bible or Scripture is God-breathed and that shows us the way of salvation and shows us how to live. And when we said, "This is the word of the Lord," you agreed with that and said, "Thanks be to God." But even so, these doubts about the Bible can still be very real, especially when we open it up. And it shocks us and challenges us and bewilders us. And so can we really trust it? Well, the place that I want to start this morning is with Jesus. Because I think the first reason that we can trust the Bible is that Jesus gives it to us. We receive it from his hands. Now, it might seem a bit circular to start with Jesus, because we only really know much about Jesus because of the Bible. And so I do want to come back to the question of the historical truth of Jesus. But I want to start with Jesus himself, because what lies at the heart of this question is not just the Bible, you know, the book itself, but a question of trust. Because at the foundation of knowledge is trust. We know things because we trust. We know things because we trust the people who tell us. We trust the papers we read, the podcasts we listen to. We trust the experiences that we have and the fingers and the eyes and the ears and the noses that sense them. And we trust our rationality and logic of our brains. And so the big question is for us today, do we trust Jesus when he hands the Bible to us? And so, you know, when you pick up a book at the bookshop and you're trying to work out whether or not it's whether it's going to be a good book to read, and it's got those one-line endorsements, and you know a book is bad when they don't actually end up saying much, you know, an important new book, or terrific, 3 stars, condemned by faint praise, as they say. But when it comes to the Old Testament, Jesus' attitude was not like that. Jesus knew the Jewish scriptures back to front, and he endorsed them wholeheartedly. He called the Old Testament the Word of God and appealed to its truth. He believed it and obeyed it. And nowhere did he disagree with what they said or the demands that they made. And in fact, from Jesus' perspective, you could only know him and trust him by knowing the Old and understanding the Old Testament. We just read a little bit from Luke 24 when Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. And just after that, Jesus says this in Luke 24, 44, and it's on your sermon outlines. He says this, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." This is just one instance where Jesus appeals to what has become our Old Testament in order for us to understand him. And so it's these scriptures of the Old Testament that Jesus gives to us to understand him, to know how to be saved, and to know how to live well. And this is true of the New Testament as well. Jesus called the apostles to write it down. He gave them his spirit to equip them and remind them to help them to do so. And then he sent them out into the world, and it's their testimonies that are written in the New Testament. And so all the scriptures are God's gift to us. They show us God. They show us the way of salvation and the way to live. And so whatever misgivings or doubts that you might have about the Bible, the place to start is to receive it from the hands of Jesus. Now, if you're a skeptic here today, if you're still investigating Christianity, this will help you to focus your inquiry. Because the bottom line is, what do you make of Jesus? What do you make of Jesus? And if you can listen to him, then he urges you to take the rest of the Bible seriously. And so if you can begin with him, then you can start to think, well, if I can trust him, can I trust the rest of the scriptures? But if you're a follower of Christ, then this should embolden you with your own difficulties with the Bible. And so when you hear a part of the Bible, maybe especially from the Old Testament, in church, perhaps, that you don't like, or if you're coming across a part of the Bible in your own Bible reading at home, remember that your teacher and your Lord has given this to you and said, take and read. And he invites you to listen and obey. Now, as I mentioned before, this raises another question. If we're trusting in Jesus, how can we actually have any confidence that what the Bible says about him is historically reliable? Did he even exist? And so the second reason we can trust the Bible is that it is historically reliable. And this matters because more than any other religions, Judaism and Christianity make irreducibly historical claims. We believe that God has broken into the world and made his mark. That he rescued his people from Egypt, he established a kingdom in Israel, and he rescued them from exile in Babylon. And we believe that God ultimately came to his people in the historical man Jesus Christ, And as the creed says, we just said it before, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. Now, I've always thought it's curious that the creed, such a short summary of the Christian faith, would include such what seems like an unimportant historical detail, talking about Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of the time. But I think the point is that it's saying this happened in a real time and real place. This isn't just a kind of some philosophical thoughts or a spiritual reality. This is a historical claim about this real man, Jesus Christ, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Palestine. And he died, and he appeared again to his disciples after he rose from the dead. So when Paul summarizes the Christian message, that's basically the story that he gives. That that God became the man Jesus Christ, he died, rose again, he appeared to his disciples. And so it's no wonder that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17, and again this is in your sermon outline, he said, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile." So what can we say about these historical claims? Well, I won't say that there aren't any difficulties. I think the Old Testament is especially difficult because it dates back so far, and external evidence from just that period of time is scarce. But I think there's good reason to trust its testimony, and there is external evidence that supports the broad outline of Israel's history in the Bible, that a people called Israel existed in the land, that kingdoms were established, that they were exiled to Babylon and returned. And there's plenty of evidence confirming the names and places and culture of the Old Testament, that they truly reflect the times. And so this isn't just creative historical fiction out of the mind of later Jewish scribes hundreds of years later. But what about Jesus? Well, as for Jesus, you know, we always hear these sensationalist headlines that say, "Oh, look, we've found the bones of Jesus' family ossuary with Jesus' very own bones, maybe." Or these claims that Jesus was just a regular Joe who was married and had kids. Or that the real story is found in other suppressed voices like the Gospels of Thomas or Barnabas. So what's the verdict? Well, the verdict is that Jesus' historicity is beyond all reasonable doubt, and that our biblical gospels are reliable witnesses to the real Jesus. I'll give you 6 reasons for this. I've got them. They're very brief. And I do encourage you to go and explore them further. We don't have time. You could do a whole series of lectures on this stuff. But the first is that ancient historians agree. The vast majority of serious historians of ancient history believe in the core elements of Jesus' life. His teaching, his reputation as a healer and welcomer of sinners, his clashes with the religious elites, his death on the cross, and at least that his disciples were convinced that he rose from the dead. So ancient historians agree. Second, they believe this because the New Testament is filled with eyewitness accounts. From Luke's gospel, which relates first-hand experiences, including from Jesus' closest disciple, Peter, to John's gospel and letters, who himself was another of Jesus' closest companions, to Paul's letters, whose life was completely transformed by Jesus when he met him, when he encountered the risen Jesus. Now, it's not just that these are eyewitness accounts, but that these eyewitness accounts match up with ancient history. These accounts are filled with historical details about people and places and times. And so modern archaeology affirms again and again that the life and times of the Gospels match up. And fourth, the Christians preserved the right witnesses from early on. I mentioned before the Gospels of Thomas and of Barnabas. You know, a lot of bogus claims out there that the New Testament books were only selected 300 years later by the powerful Christian Emperor Constantine, including, and then at the same time excluding those other Gospels without warrant. But that's a complete myth. From very early on, the early church consistently recognized what we have as our canonical Gospels in the New Testament as the core testimony of Jesus' life and teaching. And others as late creations. Fifth, we know that they haven't been changed because we have thousands of early manuscripts. This isn't a case of things just being changed and by being passed around time and time again. Because the earliest manuscripts, many of them date within 100 or 200 years of the originals. And that makes the New Testament the best attested ancient document. And as for the resurrection, well, Jesus' empty tomb and willingness of his disciples to die for this message attest to the resurrection-shaped hole in history. It's very difficult to explain the evidence if Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Now, in the end, there are no knockdown scientific proofs when it comes to ancient history, but there is powerful cumulative evidence to trust that the Bible is historically reliable, and especially that Jesus is who he claimed to be. But the truth of the Bible isn't just in its historical veracity. It's one thing to have some dusty old history books sitting on your shelf. Because what makes the Bible personally trustworthy is that it makes sense of our lives and our experiences. And so that's the fourth reason we can trust the Bible, is that it makes sense of our lives and of our world. I think right now we're tending to live in a state of confusion and uncertainty. In so many ways, the world really does seem to be in a mess. It's hard to know which way is up, where things are going, where we've come from. But in the Scriptures, we find meaning and coherence. And that's why, again, the psalmist says in Psalm 119, "Your word, God, is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path." One Christian theologian describes the Bible as the spectacles and the eyeglasses through which we see the ourselves and the world clearly. Well, what do I mean by this, that it's these spectacles? Well, firstly, the Bible gives this overarching story, this overarching narrative to our world to help us understand it. It tells us that our longings come from our being created in the image of God, this relational and purposeful God. It tells us that things aren't what they should be because there is this deep spiritual rupture at the center of things. And it gives us hope, knowing that God has stepped into the darkness of the world and into the wrongdoing of our own lives to do something about it. And it gives us purpose and a sense of fulfillment, knowing that we can live not just for ourselves, but for the God who loved us and for the sake of others. Now, I make these kind of broad generalizations. Yes, the Bible gives us meaning, but maybe that sounds too simplistic. Someone challenged me just recently and said, you Christians, you don't really understand what the real world is like. And you carry on, you say make these simplistic claims. The world's much more complex than what your simple theology says and what your naive book says about the world. But part of the beauty of the Bible is that it's never simplistic or naive. In fact, it's a mess. Have you read it? Yeah, it's not just one book. It's 66 different books written over the course of over 1,000 years, over 3 different continents, by maybe 40 different authors in 3 different languages, Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. And then you look at the different parts, it's made up of dramatic narrative, jubilant praise and heartbreaking lament, alongside census lists and imperial correspondence and ancient law codes, not to mention personal letters and erotic love poetry and mythical imagery. But alongside this array of genres, the Bible faces, honestly, the mess of human life, religion and power and money and sex, as well as family breakdown, abuse, sickness, disability. It expresses joy and faith and love alongside fear, doubt, and hate. So no wonder, when we open the Bible, if we're not especially familiar with it, it's bewildering. But I think this gives us, actually, this rich texture of the Bible makes sense and is honest about the mess of the world. It doesn't sugarcoat the human condition, but rather in all these different ways faces up to it, gives us a variety of ways of dealing with it, confronts it, and brings healing and peace. Now, it's true that there are parts of the Bible that when we especially do seem outdated and offensive. And so we do need to remember that it was written in the context of these ancient cultures, these deeply hierarchical and patriarchal cultures where institutions like slavery were an economic reality. But I think we do need to be careful not to be quick about dismissing things as out of hand. Because if the Bible really is God speaking to us, then shouldn't we expect that we would disagree with it at points, or that it would disagree with us and what we think? There's a movie called The Stepford Wives about men whose wives are robots programmed to do basically what they want them to do. And the result is that these are no wives at all. There's no relationship when there's not an actual other who pushes and pulls and challenges and confronts. If we accept the bits of the Bible that we like and that match with our modern culture, but we just decide to throw out the rest, then we're kind of creating a Stepford God, a robot God who just does what we say and thinks what we think. So when you get to confronting and difficult texts in the Bible, look for ways that God is bringing justice and peace into the mess of the world. Pay attention to where you can be challenged and ask for God's help as you increasingly see the world through these spectacles, these eyeglasses that help us to see the world and ourselves clearly. Finally, the final reason that we can trust the Bible is that it makes a difference. If God really speaks through it, if we really meet Jesus in it and make sense of our lives, then we should expect that the Bible changes things. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews says to his readers, he urges them to listen to the scriptures because, as he says, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God, it gets under our skin and confronts us. And if you let it, it will change you. Christian theology speaks about the Bible as one of the fundamental means of grace, the tool that God uses to change us by his Spirit. Paul calls it the sword of the Spirit, the weapon for spiritual battle. And so when we read, learn, and inwardly digest these words, God's Spirit works. We meet Jesus and he changes us and he changes the world. And that's what we've seen. You know, the message of the New Testament spread like wildfire in the ancient world and transformed it from a generally pagan world shaped around power and honor into a generally Christian world shaped by love and humble service. And it continues to change lives today. When I was about 20, the Bible changed my life. I hadn't read it in a while. I was a Christian. I hadn't read it in a while. And so I just turned to the table of contents and just to look for something interesting that I hadn't read before. And I saw this strange, I couldn't even pronounce the name, Ecclesiastes, what's that? So I thought I'd give it a read. I was studying engineering at the time and kind of doing that to kind of fully express who I am and to make lots of money while doing it. And the book of Ecclesiastes, it blew my socks off. It told me that the way that I was living was not the way to live, and instead I needed to live in a way that was seeking to honor God above all things. Now, I could have done that, whether I continued as an engineer and lived as a faithful Christian committed to my local church and to God's mission in the world, but it also challenged me to consider going into ministry, which is the path that I took. And so the Bible, that part of the Bible, just picking it up and reading it, turned my life around 21 years ago. And as I've been preparing just this week, it's been getting under my skin again and forcing me to ask, Tim, are you letting the Bible speak with authority into every part of your life? Are you just sidelining, dismissing those bits that make me feel uncomfortable? And so if you have trouble trusting the Bible, try reading it and see what happens. Start with the Gospels, those biographies of Jesus' life. Meet Jesus and see. But if, on the other hand, the Bible is overly familiar to you, you feel like you know it well, just try turning to somewhere that's less familiar and see what happens. Or set about maybe reading it from start to finish if you haven't before. Over the course of the year, you can read a couple of Old Testament chapters, a couple of New Testament chapters a day, and you'll get through it and see what happens. One poet described the Bible as the most dangerous book ever written on earth because of its power to expose and confront and change. But, you know, it's not very powerful if it's just sitting on a shelf gathering dust, is it? So the question is, the Bible can change and is trustworthy. Will you let it in? Let's pray. Blessed Lord, you caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. And so grant us to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Please visit our website at www.stmarksdp.org to subscribe to our new episodes, browse more resources, and find more information about the community of St. Mark's.